This is Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Lysander Feme, the Titanium Meerkat, and Mr. Davy Barker, the Shiny Badger. I actually got that right from memory, guys.
I'm amazed.
Yay!
I'm pretty amazed, too. Tonight is a very special, remember like those after school specials they said, and now a very special episode of Blossom. This is a very special episode of the Freedom Fiends. This is the 500th episode of the Freedom Fiends.
It's my party and I'll meow if I want to.
How special is it, Johnny?
I don't know, but my cat Fuzzy, or my DJ, my cat Fuzzy, is in the other room. Sitting on one of his little cat toy boxes about 25 feet away from me, like staring at me, and his eyes are shining like he's getting that thing off the light in my room, and it looks kind of, I don't know, it's like a devil cat, man. He's going, what are you guys talking about in there?
No, he knows. He can feel the auspices of the evening in the air.
Yeah. It's and you know what I did to celebrate the 500th episode of the Freedom Fiends? I went back in time. I ordered DSL today.
What for?
Well, to combat a duopoly and have good internets enough to do the show. So here's the situation.
Protest DSL?
It's my protest DSL. Well, it's not really much of a protest because this is going to cost me $500 extra a year. So I haven't begged for donations in a long time, but I think I'm going to spend the Fiend's birthday tonight. Not spend the whole show, but I'm going to mention, hey, we like donations because I'm going to have to pay $500 more a year to even do this show. Here's what happened. I live in the Wild West. I live in Beast Lick, Wyoming. I actually live in Casper, Wyoming. It's a population of 54,000 people. It's the tied for first with the most populated city in the great state of Wyoming. And, yeah, we don't have the best internets here, man. In fact, we have two internet service providers here. I mean, not counting like AT&T wireless on your chromed robot turd or satellite internet, which does not have the latency. It has too much latency to do a live radio show. We have Charter, who are cable internet, who I've had for 5 years. And we have CenturyLink, who are DSL only. DSL is like the stuff cable replaced 10 years ago. Like, no one has it anymore. It comes over your phone line.
It's the internet your grandparents carved into stone.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I remember getting DSL. I got it in 1996, which most people were on dial-up till 99 or 2000. I got DSL in 96 because there were like four cities that had it, and San Francisco was one of them. And you had to live within 1,000 feet of a telephone company building to get it, and I did. And I got it. And I remember going from dial-up to DSL was like, you know, it was like seeing for the first time. It was, oh, my God, this is going to extend my lifespan. And then cable came along and, you know, it went to like fabulously fast internet speeds. But here's the thing. Cable internet is not a guaranteed speed. Like, a lot of the time I can get speeds of 25 to 35 megabits per second download and 4.5 to 5.5 megabits per second upload. But lately they have been Charter has been totally pushing on every billboard, every radio ad, every TV ad all the time. Get the internet, get cable, get the triple play, get TV, get telephone, blah, blah, blah. Like, they've been selling the heck out of it. And I think what it is all these people, like Wyoming has a lot of people who probably thought, oh, the internet, that's for young people. And I think that enough of them finally just said, I'm sick of being at the cowboy bar and hearing all this talk about face beef. I don't want to be left out. Every day I get something from Charter in the mail, I'm going to get Charter. So I think they've been overselling the capacity they have to the point where during peak hours between like 8 p.m. and midnight my time, there's usually 1 or 2 or 3 hour span in there where the internet crawls to like dial up speed. And that's why, like, you know, I've had to have people fill in for me doing shows. We've had to play repeat shows. It's been like every like 2 or 3 nights a week for like a month. I've had them come out 3 times, replace my modem. And finally I had a cable guy who was like, hey, you know what, man, I'm leaving this job. I'll tell you the truth. You should go to the competitor. If you know, I explained what I do, that this is, you know, I need to do this every day. It's
good for him.
Yeah.
Honest broker.
Yeah. Although, you know, he was able to be honest because he's leaving that job to go work at a security company and work with the private sector. But yeah, man, it's and I talked to the head engineer at GCN today, and he's like, yep, I have the same problem in Minneapolis. And, you know, he doesn't do a show, but basically, like, he has, you know, a teenage relative living with him. And he says when the relative goes on the internet and uses internets the way teenagers do, like, his cable in his house crawls to a stop. So he got DSL for himself. And DSL is solid. Like, you have DSL, right, Lou?
Yeah.
And it, you know, it never changes speed, right?
No, it's always the same. If I watch my TV shows from, like, the network websites, it works just fine.
What about any other high? Well, I mean, you don't have problems with doing the show.
No, ever. No, yeah. It works out pretty good. YouTube, I watch a lot of YouTube, so that works just fine. Yeah, so, yeah, it works.
Yeah, so DSL is a solid 1 megabit per second up and 1.5 megabit per second down, which is not very fast. And I'm actually going to keep, at least for a few months, keep the cable internet for my general scooting around the web and things like uploading the show via torrents, things like that late at night. I'm just going to pay $45 a month extra to be able to solidly do this show. And I don't get it till Friday. And fortunately, today, the internet's came back up like a half hour before the show. Like 2 hours ago, it was I wouldn't have been able to do the show. And sometimes it's useless during the show time, but it went back up, fortunately, tonight for our 500th show.
Yay. Sounds like Providence to me. It's our 500th episode, and we got to raise $500. So we got to hurry up and shame some listeners for making small $2 donations.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've listened to all 500 episodes, send in $500 right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe we should tell jokes that they'll only get if they've heard all 500 episodes. The insider trading
Let's do that. You know, I was watching Boardwalk Empire the other day, which takes place in the 30s, and there was a funny thing in it. It was like, you know, it was two rich guys talking like, well, yeah, and we'll do this deal. And, you know, I mean, there's no law against insider knowledge in the stock market, fortunately. And I was like, wow, those were the days, man.
Right. I want to congratulate this will be the episode you can only listen to if you know the secret handshake.
Yeah. So, Lou, what?
On the radio.
I want to congratulate you. Now you have internet that matches your cell phone.
Yeah.
You've got one of those old flip phones with the big numbers on it, right?
No, I have one that's one generation past that. I have the one that flips up and has the little chiclet for texting. You know, like the BlackBerry style chiclets?
Okay.
Yeah, well, those are still, that's still what people use for burner phones, isn't it?
I don't know. Can burner phones even text? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. I think there's additional charge for it. Maybe you have to buy text messages for your burner.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't buy the Breaking Bad companion book like you guys did. I don't know.
Yeah, I have two Blackberries. Personal one that's about 3 years old, which I'm getting ready to get rid of, and then I get one through my job.
Blackberry. I mean, that's like. That's what Obama uses. Not saying that you're bad because he does. I just thought, BlackBerry was the first device that you could like reliably text on. But at the time, you could only text people on other Blackberries. But I remember they called them Crackberries because people got so addicted to them because it was the first thing you could text on. I remember sitting in AA meetings in 2001, and like a quarter of the room in an LA AA meeting would be like ignoring the meeting and like texting on Blackberries.
Hey, say what you want about my Blackberry, but I can call in a drone strike on your internet service three nights a week.
Your Blackberry probably has more reliable service than my internet.
Who wants to place bets that the government won't let us get through a 500th episode?
Huh. I don't know. We could always call in on our burner cell phones and do it low quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know that we're still even connected to GCN. We could be off.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, so we can start swearing again last week's episode.
No.
Feinstein, Schumer.
I have my finger hovering over the button, man. Yeah. No, it's, let's see. Well, I'm checking the statistics now. We have a duration of 15 minutes and 1 second, an RX rate of 73.2 kilobits per second, an RX overhead of 19.8 kilobits per second, an RX delay of 837 milliseconds, a TX rate of 256.2 kilobits per second, a TX overhead of 200 kilobits per second, TX delay of 21 milliseconds, and the important two, a frame loss of zero and a remote loss of zero with no measurable jitter. All right.
Can you get that thing to read my blood pressure and my cholesterol too?
No, but you know, it'd be simpler to just have the four GPS coordinates of the US on a flag. I still like that idea. Ian Freeman mentioned that on Free Talk Live. Did you hear him?
No, I didn't. Was that today?
No, it was the day after we did that. They were talking about how stupid it is to like worship a country and be patriotic. And Ian said, yeah, the Freedom Fiends were talking last night about how, you know, the flag should just be GPS coordinates.
Yeah.
You lost me right after you said, I'm looking at the statistics.
I was looking at the Comrex interface. You know, you interface to the Comrex through a web browser and there's a tab for statistics.
Okay.
I lost you like you didn't understand or like you lost being able to hear me.
Oh, I had no idea what you were talking about.
But you could hear me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could hear you.
So the gibberish was on my end. It wasn't a technical issue.
Right.
It was a mental problem.
You were using actual words. All I heard was Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah, so basically, when I was talking about the 0% jitter, the zero jitter on my end, there was like 1,100 milliseconds of jitter in your head.
Yeah, basically. I think so. I don't know what that is.
Well, I see a big. We just had a dropout about 30 seconds ago. So if people heard it, that's probably why. Hey, Lou, you speaking of technology? What are you doing different than usual?
I am using my new mixer.
Woo!
Yay!
Yeah, and the problem. Here's the tip: news you can use. Zenix mixers require a driver download from the Zenix site for Windows 8. We found that out the hard way. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends 500th Worms episode.
Wimes.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Michael Dean.
Yeah, Freedom Fiends.
Dig it, man. So we're having a party. It's our 500th episode. We don't feel any pressure to perform. We're just going to hang out. Like we've talked about the Bavarian Gulch. It usually also includes Ben Stone, but he's asleep. We can wake him up. You guys want to call him and wake him up?
Yeah.
That's what we'll do for our 500th episode. We'll take a call.
I think that would be, yes, that would be groundbreaking. I think we should wake him up and wake Nima up. And wake Nima's kid up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to go over real well.
I want to hear about this mixer. What does it do?
It's like my mixer, but it's the baby version of it. It's the same. It's the Zenix series Behringer, and it's the same type of mixer, but it's got less knobs and less channels. So go ahead.
Yeah. It's a mixer for people that don't feel that they have to compensate for something.
Well, I got the same mixer Ian Freeman has, so he may be compensating for something. I just took the advice. I was going down a new path, and I took advice from someone who'd been there.
Yeah. Well, when you were sending out the different equipment for me to pick up, I was looking at the mixer that you have, and it's like, my God, my table's not even big enough for that thing.
Mine is barely. I had to get an extra table for it.
So, yeah, and it's going to be really good for
doing. What's the point?
The big thing is it's going to be good for doing remote broadcasts, like when we were out at Liberty Fest this year.
More than one host.
Yeah, I was trying to set up the mixer, but there was a problem with it, and I had to just do the one microphone.
The problem was we hadn't downloaded the drivers, but I think there was also a grounding problem there, and I'm glad you got a ground, a $7. How much was your ground tester?
Yeah, it was about $7.
Yeah, everybody who ever speaks into a microphone in home or out of their home should own a $7 ground tester. to find out if they're going to get electrocuted or not using electricity.
And I did test every outlet in my apartment, and I'm happy to say that I will most likely not be getting electrocuted. Unless, of course, I spill coffee on something again.
Yeah, keep liquids away from the mixer. Oh, I should add that to my notes for my – I'm making a video on how to podcast. And there's a lot of stuff that's like kind of common sense that I'm putting in here in addition to secret things that no one would know. And I'm sure people are going to be like, well, duh, don't put coffee near your mixer. But I guarantee that at least one person who watches that video, I'm going to save them a mixer by putting that in there.
Or your laptop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the day that I left for Liberty Fest on Thursday, I dumped my coffee into my old laptop, or it was actually a newer laptop, but I dumped the coffee and it died. So I had to take my old laptop to Liberty Fest, and I got lucky because that thing's basically dead now. It's a paperweight.
Are people, it's not common knowledge that electronics and liquids don't match,
maybe,
don't mix?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's funny because there's that double meaning with mixer, right? Like a mixer is something you put liquids in. So
make food in, yeah.
Well, it was not my intention to have my laptop drink a 18-ounce cup of coffee. It just sort of happened. So something else that you want to put in there is don't have a bunch of crap on your desk, on your workspace, and then try loading all kinds of stuff into boxes and this, that, and the other thing, and having your coffee right there.
Well, I recommend having two tables, one in front of you and one perpendicular to it to your left, no matter what you have where, just so you don't have to have everything right in front of you. It's less cluttered. You know, it's better to have it that way than to have a longer desk twice the size in front of you, I think. And it kind of makes you feel like you're in the cockpit of a nuclear bunker, or, you know, the NSA or something.
Yeah, either that or I could just clean off my dinner table because it's a mess.
Yeah.
Cleaning is a last resort in these sorts of things. Isn't a workaround always preferable
to clean?
Yeah, it's called pushing it all into one pile and hope that.
Yeah.
See, doesn't come down in an avalanche.
The thing is, and I was talking to somebody about this today, because I help people a lot with consulting on things, you know, sometimes paid, sometimes for free if the people are, you know, broke, starving students like our friend, young friend Nick, who's a yak farmer who lives with his parents.
He's not starving. He has yak to eat.
He can eat. They're not big enough to eat yet. He has to. That's a while off. But you know, I do a lot of help with consulting with people with audio and video stuff. The thing is, a lot of it is, I feel like, is common sense, but a lot of people just don't know. And the thing is, it used to be before the computer revolution and the consumer electronics revolution to where you could do everything with computers, people that did audio and video were trained, so all the media was good. But now it's like everybody thinks you get a camera and a microphone and it's...
No, you plug it in and it works.
Yeah, you have to actually know a few things. You don't need college to do it. You just need to watch a couple of my videos and hire me for a few hours consulting. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean Stockwell. Davi says he doesn't trust people with two first names, and I said, like Michael Dean? He said, Dean's not a first name. Totally is. It's a more common first name than it is last name by far.
See, here's the thing. If you ran for office and you ran with somebody whose first name was Dean, like Dean Kuntz or something, then your stickers would say Michael Dean, they would say Dean Kunst.
Yeah. Dean Kunst. Who is Dean Kunst?
He's an author of some kind. I don't know. It's the first Dean that came Dean, to mind.
But it's K-O-O-N-S-T. I'm thinking of Kunst, K-U-N-S-T, which is German for art. And we are just spinning art with our mouths here today. I'm having fun. How about you guys?
Really, Kunst is German for art? I bet that's a fake name.
Mm. Yeah, K-U-N-S-T. Kunst.
Lou knows because like every town in Germany has a street called Kunsten. Strasse or something.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a building in Detroit. The year chiseled on is 1846, and it's some sort of Kunsthalle, so art museum or art hall.
So I dealt with Indian tech support today. That was kind of fun. I went to order internets. I went to order DSL. I went to reach back into the past and reset my life clock to the year 2000 by ordering DSL. And I called to order it, and they were like, I got someone with a Texan accent, and I couldn't hear her at all. And I said, I can't hear you. Can you adjust your mouthpiece or something? And she said, "How's that?" And I'm like, okay, I'm going to call someone else. So I called back, and I got a guy in India that sounded exactly like Apu. And it was a baffling ordeal. And at one point, like, he told me something was going to be, you know, way more than I'd been promised it was. And I said, can I speak to a supervisor, please? And he's like, yes, but it will not help. And he went to get a supervisor. I swear these two guys were working out of their apartment. It did not sound
but it will not help.
It sounded like he didn't go, you know, he wasn't transferring me. It sounded like he set the phone down and walked into the kitchen and got his brother, who was making a sandwich, to come in and talk to me instead.
He got his roommate.
It was all one guy doing voices.
It was probably like one American guy in Texas doing voices. It was probably the same woman I called on the first call that I couldn't hear.
She's like, oh, yes, I'll transfer you to the customer service department. Hello, this is the customer service department.
Yeah.
Oh, he called Rich Little.
Actually did help when I talked to the other guy, but only because it wasn't that the second guy had more power to give me a better deal, the deal I'd originally been promised. It was that the first guy hadn't explained it to me well. It was basically their DSL only service with no telephone and no TV is like it was $29.95 a month plus a bunch of add-ons, like having the modem mailed to you, you know, initial setup fee, blah, blah, blah. You know, the first bill is going to be $100 more or something. But, you know, they told me it's $29.95 a month. And then basically what they said at checkout was, we can get your bank information and do it as direct deposit automatically, and it's $29.95 a month. Or you can do it for $43 a month and pay by bills in the mail. And I was like, that is not acceptable. It's not what I was told on the other phone line, blah, blah, blah. And but it turned out that the $43 a month doesn't lock you into a contract. The $29 with the InstaPay is a year commitment. So I'm like, I'll pay more and not have the commitment because I don't know if this is even going to work, man.
Yeah.
You know, literally, it's like there's a monopoly in my town, or there's a duopoly of cable and DSL, and that's it. You know, it's horrible.
Or is it a matter of there's not enough market demand to justify new competitors coming in there?
That's exactly it. It's a default duopoly. Although I still blame the government, because I believe that without the regulations of the telecom industry and the FCC regulating them and a bunch of other agencies, I think it really would be like, you know, Billy Bob's internet here. Wait, I'm making a sandwich. Okay, let me take your order. And it would be better, you know, because eventually there'd be a Billy Bob who could do it right.
Or maybe, well, what you really need then is net neutrality. I think that'll solve it.
I know you're kidding. Explain why you're kidding. Because somebody might not know.
Because it's the opposite of what you just said, right? Like, your point was that the regulations are what prevent the guy from running a competing service out of his garage, and net neutrality would make that even more impossible, probably reducing the duopoly to a monopoly in your area.
Yeah. Do you remember a Saturday Night Live commercial from like the late 70s or early 80s that was for like the Bank of Doug? And it was like, you know, no overdraft fees, no check fees. And it was literally like a guy named Doug in his apartment who would hold your money for you.
No, but I approve.
I thought you would. What do you think, Lou? Turn up a little tiny bit, Lou.
I think that would probably be a
turn up
a
more.
Good thing.
Turn up more.
Okay.
Can't hear you.
I'm wondering why they don't have some sort of like Google fiber optic cable or something like that. You know, getting run from house to house.
Because it's Casper, Wyoming, man, and there's no, you know. Literally, I think the problem right now of why the internet is slow is because there's a bunch of people getting on the internet for the first time. Ugh, that's horrible.
Ah, yeah. So they're playing with their Netflix and watching their Houses of Cards and all that.
Houses of Cards, sharing pictures of their grandchildren. Yeah.
I wonder if it's a generational thing. It would seem like internet use would sort of have an exponential growth for a while as you go from like one generation where like 10% of the people bother with it, and then the next generation where like 100% of them use it. Many, like as soon as those kids all move out on their own, that's like five times as many houses that need internet connectivity, right?
Yeah. Am I incorrect or is this correct that a good percentage of young people now don't even have a computer and they do everything on a phone?
That sounds accurate. I mean, I know they don't have landlines. Nobody has landlines anymore.
I do.
Well, I mean, the younger, the kids these days with their cellular telephones, Lou, they don't have landlines.
Lou, you got to turn up. For some reason, you got a lot quieter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's this?
Keep going.
Okay. Now.
Bring it down a little bit. Turn down your treble a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Turn down your treble a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's remember that you did turn.
Okay. You're too loud now. Turn it down a little bit.
Let's remember that you did turn 100 a few episodes back.
I know. Watch that. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and talk, guys. This is, people may be going, what is this? This is a radio show and they're sound checking in the middle of a segment. But hey, we're in different like geographic regions. We can't see what each other are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead, Lou.
And we're a teaching hospital.
Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. This is a teaching hospital and a learning hospital.
Yeah.
I did. Freedom Fiend, cheaper than an audio video degree.
Yeah. As far as the youngsters, I think a lot of them are using their phones, but I also think that they're using tablets and laptops. But yeah, none of them have landlines.
But that stuff goes over G3 and G4, so that shouldn't be cutting into my cable.
Well, here's the thing. A desktop computer is just the landline for the internet. I mean, that's all it is. And it's definitely kind of it's sort of obvious that the central plan of the tech companies is to give us things that we can have in our pockets or in our backpacks that we carry around with us. So they're breaking the landline. That's the goal.
I also feel like desktop computers are for content creators and everything else is for content consumers. I mean, laptops are kind of the bridge between the two. But you can't make and edit a movie with any accuracy on a chromed robot turret, no matter how powerful it is.
Accuracy is really overrated these days. Kids don't really care about that anymore. I mean, when was the last time you saw the headline that Apple was releasing a new version of the iMac?
I don't think they make iMacs, do they? Don't they make the Air or something like that? AIR?
I don't know. Do they even have a desktop PC anymore?
Were the three guys left in the world with computers? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I like having it, but
I actually use two desktop computers to do this show. I'm carving the radio waves out by hand the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
I have a desktop computer.
You sound like you're under it, Lou. I don't know what happened, but you got quieter, man.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have a desktop. It's like 14 years old, 12 years old, something like that.
Yeah. The only reason I still have it is because I need a screen for graphic design. Everything else I can do on something mobile.
Yeah. I have a desktop computer. It's 2 years old and it's extremely fast. It's faster than most people's, faster and has more capacity, more memory and more storage space than most people's laptops. Yeah.
You know what I need? If Samsung is listening or Apple or whoever, I need a projector that fits in a ballpoint pen so that I can like turn any mobile device I have into a big screen TV wherever I am. Then that would make graphic design on the fly really easy.
Have you ever seen those keyboards that project the keys onto the table and you touch the light?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've never used them.
I have enough trouble
with a touch screen.
I won't even see one of those until after it's been in wide circulation for 10 years.
Yeah, you'll see one when it's on eBay, when it's completely obsolete. That's where I see stuff sometimes that I want.
That's when I'm ready for it. As soon as it's obsolete, that's when I'm ready to try it out.
Yeah.
I want my things to be thoroughly vetted before I spend any money on them.
Isn't radio's kind of obsolete and we're finally on it?
Yeah, there you go. See? Perfect example. We know radio is a vetted technology. We know that people can hear what we're saying.
There's no way we could have gotten on radio 10 years ago. Wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, probably not. I was, no way.
Maybe. Well, I think Free Talk Live got on the radio 12 years ago, but they got on, I think for the first 2 years, they were on one station in Florida, and they like went into the station to do the show.
Yeah.
Yep.
KFTL. Coincidentally.
Lou? I can't hear Lou anymore. He sounds like he fell down the well.
Yeah.
I said I doubt if we would have stayed on radio 10 years ago. We probably would have been taken out.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if we were on radio 10 years ago, it would have been like, you know, predicting the future. People would have been like, no way. Some guy named Obama is never going to get elected. That's crazy talk. There's no way the government would violate those civil liberties. Never going to happen in America. Like,
yeah. Nobody with an Irish name like Obama would get elected.
That's funny. Yeah.
Although the countries we're at war with would be familiar 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Afghanistan, Syria. Yeah. You know what's kind of funny? There's this weird thing that Google's doing where the Google alerts are all of a sudden giving me Google alerts on Freedom Fiends Facebook page posts from like a year ago or 2 years ago. Like, I'm getting alerts suddenly for, like, you know, something that Nima and I did 2 years ago or a year ago. And one of the things is an episode Nima and I had that said Congress would never go to war, would never allow going to war with Syria unless they're caught in bed with a live boy or a dead girl. That wasn't
I remember that
long ago. Yeah. Did Congress approve the bombing, or did Obama just do it from his BlackBerry?
I don't know. I think they didn't vote on it.
All right. We'll be back.
They didn't vote. They cheer.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends.
So, Lou has left the building. Lou was looking in the back of his mixer. I asked him to check something on the back, and he found a little microphone and looked at it under a little magnifier glass he has, and it had like an NSA number with a serial number on it. It said NSA. So I guess the mixer he ordered was bugged, and he ripped it out and got angry and started a cuss-laden profanity spew. Fortunately, he was during a break, and then we censured him by making him go think about what he that's not true at all. He's a good guy, and he doesn't cuss on the radio even during breaks, and he spilled coffee on his toe and had to go put unguents and ointments on it.
I'm highly dubious of this narrative.
Well, we do want to say hello and thank you for your service to our one listener that we have left after 500 episodes. It's Jim Jesus.
We have a confirmed fan.
Jim Jesus, who's listening somewhere in the lower Mountain West, in a town we may be on the radio in soon. I'm not going to out him, even though you could look him up on Facebook and see where he lives, but at least the town or the region. But yeah, and Jim is our one listener. He's our one fan that we have left, and he recently made a Cards Against Humanity libpair version, which includes a lot of Freedom Fiends and LRN and Free Talk Live inside jokes. It's pretty funny. Have you seen it?
I'm not sure.
Do you know about Cards Against Humanity?
I do know about Cards Against Humanity.
We're just going to leave it at that. If anybody doesn't know, you need to get the internet and look up Cards Against Humanity.
I suppose anybody advocating that should say that it's not safe for work. Unless you happen to work in a very cool environment, then it might be a laugh riot. But
it's
kind
of like a party game with cards. It's kind of like the old game Apples and Oranges, but it's like Apples and Origins. Apples to apples for like criminals and malcontents.
Yeah, it's like a party game for really wretched people and people that like to pretend to be wretched people.
And the phrase and the name Cards Against Humanity, of course, is a takeoff on the phrase Crimes Against Humanity. So
I did not know that, but that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it was actually called something really stupid at first, like, you know, mix and match word game play or something.
No, Cards Against Humanity is a great
name. It's a great name.
Because it's an equal opportunity hater. There's not one sacred cow in that deck of cards that isn't knocked over. So
there's not. And we do a show no matter what. I mean, I do a show on Christmas, New Year's, etc. And hopefully we'll be able to keep that up when I get my second internet feed, my DSL. And we are accepting donations again. For a while we were just like, we don't want your money. We don't care, man. Don't give us money. We don't need it. And then we decided that I don't want to spend $500 a year to do this show. So if you want to make a donation, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin at the bottom of any page. So in the second hour, we're going to talk about the new Cards Against Humanity expansion deck that Jim Jesus made.
Oh, I did see this. You sent me the link to this.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it in the second hour. But you wanted to ask me about the history of the Fiends a bit. What did you want to know?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about the 500th episode, but I haven't been here for 500 episodes. I've maybe been here for 50 or so, and not even consecutively.
Don't you listen to every episode though? Now
I do, I have also listened to the whole archive, so I have listened to all 500 episodes.
You've heard more Freedom Fiends episodes than I have.
Wow. Well, I mean, you heard them the first time.
A lot of the shows that I'm on, I don't have time to listen to anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the ones with Derek and Bill Buford. And I love both those guys. They both do great radio. I simply don't have time to listen to my own show, the show that, you know, I started. It's got my name on it. And I've encouraged everyone to meow. Meowing on radio. I built that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a pretty good sign of trust, too, that you'll let your hosts do the show and not sort of critique them or micromanage them after the fact.
Oh, I do. I sit there listening for the first 20 minutes of each show and email both of them and email whoever's doing it without me and tell them things to do.
No, but I want to hear like the history of the Fiends. Like, what was the first 100 episodes like, or how's the equipment changed over time, or how did you get on your first station? Stuff like that.
We'll talk about all this and more. And Jim Jesus's expansion deck for Cards Against Humanity. When we get back, after 8 minutes of ads and news and things you can use and talk of what Obama did to you today. Worms. Davi Barker, this is Michael Dean. What's up, man? What do you want to know?
I want to know the history of the Fiends. Read me that. If there were a Wikipedia article, I want details.
Well, if there were a Wikipedia article, it would be deleted as non-notable. I had a There was a Michael W. Dean Wikipedia article. Is that something
Wikipedia does?
Yes. I had a Wikipedia article for 5 years that I did not make. That listed the movies I'd made and the books I've written for, you know, commercial publishers. And some
Wikipedia said not important.
Yeah. Some of the articles are still up, like the article for that it linked, like my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. I should check this. They might have been deleted too. And my book, $30 Film School. But it's kind of funny. I guess you can have made notable things to Wikipedia, but you're not notable.
Weird.
Yeah.
I've always wondered whether or not I would end up on there somewhere, because I know there is an Anarchy and Islam page on Wikipedia, and it notes some other sort of, you know, not so famous people who are anarchists and Muslims. And I'm always wondering, like, am I going to end up on there one of these days?
Okay, $30 Film School still has a page on Wikipedia. Let's look up Davi Barker.
Oh, it's not there. I'm almost certain of it.
You never know. Sometimes, I mean, like, oh, yeah, Cop Block. You're on the Cop Block page. That's the only place.
Cool.
Yep.
I made it to Wikipedia. I have arrived.
Yeah. Further reading. Davi Barker, a Dame of Freedom, convicted on 3 counts of journalism from, I don't know what this is from, newsbank.com.
I don't know what that is.
It's probably a reprint of an article, a repost of an article from Anarchist Daily or something.
No, the phrase a Dame of Freeman convicted on 3 counts of journalism is from the Silver Underground page I used to write for, silverunderground.com.
Okay, well, that's not what it links, but it links probably a, you know, reposting of that on Pastebin or something.
Well, they're liars and thieves and owe me a royalty.
Yeah.
I'm going to write them a cease and desist letter.
Let's see. Is there still a Wikipedia page for DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, a film I made. And I think there's one for Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, the documentary I made about Hubert Selby. Let's see. Documentaries. Yep. So there are Wikipedia pages for three things I created that are still considered notable, and I'm not notable on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yep. And the thing is, too, if you've been declared non-notable on Wikipedia, you can't ever, like, you know, I'm not saying Fiend Fan.
You can't do anything of note?
I mean, I think if you, like, are arrested for terrorism and beheaded by ISIS or something, you'd probably get a Wikipedia page. But no matter what I do, productively, I'll never be able to get on Wikipedia again.
That's a weird standard.
Yeah, it is. Wikipedia's weird, as we covered, Ben and I covered on Sunday. But
I think here's the pull quote you want is, Davy Barker does not exist. I'm going to put that on stickers and things and say, cited by Wikipedia. It says right there, Davy Barker does not exist.
just make Davy Barker does not exist, Wikipedia.
Right.
How about God is dead, Nietzsche. Wikipedia is dead. What Davy Barker is. Okay, that's it. God is dead, Nietzsche. Davy Barker does not exist, Wikipedia.
Yeah. That's the bumper, the famous bumper sticker is God is dead, Nietzsche. Nietzsche is dead, God.
That's what I'm saying. It's a parody of that.
So I should put out a website that says that Wikipedia does not exist, or that Wikipedia is not of note.
All right, so I have we only have one fan in the world. It's Jim Jesus, but we do have people, 30 or 40 people, who torrent us for some reason.
Well, are we sure it's not Jim Jesus? I'm just saying. I've never heard him pronounce his name in person.
I've talked to him on Skype, but he didn't say his name. He didn't say, hello, Michael Dean, this is Jim Jesus. He said, hey, this is Jim, what's up? But I do have an announcement to make. Those of you who torrent are probably going, hey, why hasn't a new torrent come out? They usually come out every week. We didn't get one on Sunday in the RSS feed. I was waiting until tonight so I can seal off the torrent feed at 500 episodes and then start a new torrent feed. So, and you won't have to do anything if you're already torrenting and already subscribed. It'll auto update, but there's going to be a torrent feed tonight. And then the next one will not be this Sunday. I think it'll be the following Sunday. So it'll be they're usually a week's worth of episodes. Tonight's going to be a week and a half, and the next one will be a week and a half, and then it'll go back to a week at a time. And
all right, then.
Someone posted on the site today, on last night's episode, that if Fiend's episode 500 mentions Stefan Molyneux, he's going to stop torrenting us.
Well, then we better not mention Stefan Molyneux.
Well, I said to him, does it matter if I mention that you mentioned that, and he didn't write me back, so...
Well, this is not meeting my need for clarity. He should write back and let us know exactly what the terms of his threat are.
Well, I'm researching some interesting breaking news about Molyneux, but I don't have all of the ducks in a row yet to do it journalistically. So,
well, don't mention
it. It's going to have to wait. I'm not going to mention it. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to say I'm not going to mention him until I have this earth-shattering story all footnoted and ready to go. That could be weeks or months, but I'm working on it.
To take a complete tangent, I had a great day today. You know what I noticed today?
What?
All the Halloween stuff is out.
You're such
this
a kid.
This is gotta be like, you're such this a is kid. Like my favorite season.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're such a kid, but you are such a kid. It's part of what
all the like skulls and severed feet and fake blood. And I love it.
You know,
I
think it's great. When you say in that new Shiny Badges ad, when you say, and if you say worms, I'll send you something weird. The way you say weird, it's totally real. Like you're getting a kick out of the thought of sending people someone weird, like a kid, like, You're 12 years old when you're saying that. It's awesome.
Want to see something weird?
What's that from?
Totally. Huh? I'm just making it up.
I thought
that's
maybe
what
it was
little
from
kids say.
A Christmas Story or something.
Maybe.
You like that
movie? I might have heard it somewhere.
That movie's funny.
Yeah. I like it. I like the ad because nobody knows what the weird thing is unless they've gotten it. And to date, I haven't even seen anybody share it on social media or anything. So it's a secret still.
Yeah. And how many people have said worms and got the weird thing?
Oh, it's like 30 now.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a big order I had a big worms order too. It was like $400.
I had two Freedom Fiends buttons orders this week. I used to get two or three a week every single week solid for years. And then I went to Porkfest and gave away like 4,500 Freedom Fiends buttons. I saturated the market And yeah. And I even gave people like, oh, here, take 5 packs to give away to friends. So like I've gotten like 1 order a month since Porkfest. But yeah. I got 2 this week. So I guess we're catching up to where we're getting new fans who haven't heard of the Fiends. They dig it, and you know, there are people that actually have $10 to their name. So yeah. And I make about $1.02 on each of those orders after postage and everything. And
well, you know what some people do now is they go to shinybadges.com and they buy the 10 packs or the 50 packs, and then they bring them to their meetups and sell them themselves. I'm getting a lot more orders than I used to. And that's really cool for me because I mean they're discounted at that quantity, but it's also like having salespeople or something.
It is. That's the real way to look at it. And there are actually people who'd look at that like, no, you need to pay more if you're doing that. You're stealing my business. When it's really like, no, they're doing your work for you.
Yeah, they're going out. They're making $1 or $2 a pin, and you know, I think it's great because it also like it gets the brand out.
Yep.
And it does saturate the market to some extent, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah, no, like my plan with the Freedom Fiends, you know, getting back to the history of the Freedom Fiends is, you know, doing this for 5 or 10 years. And I've done it for 3.5 years now as a podcast and 1.25 years as radio show. And literally, like, I would consider it a total success, you know, when I'm breathing my last dying breath at age 99 or whatever, or, you know, dying in a hail of ATF gunfire 4 months from now, I would absolutely consider it a success if A, I've taught a bunch of people how to do media and they keep doing it. B, there's 500 or more episodes out there being torrented, and C, I broke even. Even though I work like 40 hours a week on this, if I break even on it in the long run, I'm happy.
It's cheaper than a hobby.
Cheaper than a movie, and there's free coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've pretty much broken even. I mean, I've made a little bit of money, but with all the equipment I bought, I've probably broken even with all the buttons I've given away. Broken even. And finding out today I'm going to have to pay $500 a year for an extra internet line to have solid DSL. I'm back to losing money on the show, but I don't do it for the money, man. I do it to have something to do that feels fun and feels important and people dig it, and to spread liberty, man. That's why I'm doing this. I'm not trying to make a living at it. And I keep saying this, and I'm not like, oh, woe is me, I'm suffering and losing money. No, man, I revel in this. And every time anybody sends a donation or buys something, a little bird goes off somewhere going, you've done good, you know, but there's really no reward in it for people other than trying to help liberty and trying to help spread something cool and trying to help someone that spends most of their time trying to help other people learn how to do it. Sometimes I get paid for doing it. I do paid consulting sometimes, but you know, I've done a lot of helping people that don't have any money get set up with stuff. And I give away a lot of the equipment I have, you know. It's all good.
Well, you know, I'm going to Walker Stalker Con next month, and I mean, I'm going to have stuff for sale too, but most of what I'm going to be doing is giving out the Pork Scouts buttons that we brainstormed on the air here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a loss leader for me, but you know what that means is you get all these kids and all these parents who are there because they're horror and sci-fi and zombie fans who've never heard of these concepts at all. And, you know, they get a free little token that says, I don't want a license to have a lemonade stand. whatever button they like.
If you think about it, like The State is a horror movie, and they should look at it that way.
It is the worst horror movie.
Maybe you should come up with a button or something that's specific to Walker Stalker Con that says something on that along those lines. You know, like,
you know what I was thinking about? I've been brainstorming t-shirts because I don't have a Survivor Max t-shirt. And the main villain, the main zombie bad guy in the book is the postman because he's smarter than the other zombies because he's a bureaucrat. Bureaucrats are more aggressive zombies in my world. And so I thought Fear the Postman would be a really good slogan for a shirt. Like, you get a gruesome looking zombie face with like a postman's hat on and just said Fear the Postman. I thought that'd be
fun. It's kind of unclear, though, as anything to do with statism or whatever, but I like it. You know what's ironic? It's a federal crime to bring a gun into a post office, even if you're able to carry it in the parking lot legally. The only people that have ever killed people at post offices have been postal workers.
Well, that must be why the law works.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
So the Freedom Fiends are one of those shows that's it's nationally syndicated, but we're kind of like one of those like, oh, and Bill, don't forget your car headlights are on. Like, we'll say that kind of stuff over the air. Ian Freeman, if you're using some kind of caching software on the Free Keen blog, it's not updating instantly because I'm clicking on this link from your Facebook page of the Rest in Peace, Gary, but. And it goes to it, but it's not on the front page. That's indicative in my experience of using SuperCache, WP SuperCache or something. I don't know, man. I don't think you need to use that if you're running on a dedicated server like you are. That's only for shared servers. So, Ian, delete your WP SuperCache software now.
Freedom Fiends calling out local blog sites on national radio.
Yeah, so you wanted to know about what do you want to know about the history of the Fiends? We've been teasing it for an hour now. I'll talk about it.
Yeah, did you start out on radio or did Freedom Fiends pick up stations later on?
No, we are, as far as I know, the first syndicated radio show that started as a podcast that's still doing it. There was an LRN show that Ian got on GCN. And they pod faded. They're not doing a show anymore. And they had like two stations or something, but they didn't work it very hard. But yeah, as far as I know, we're the first show.
Man, what a missed opportunity. You get on radio and then you just disappear?
I know, man. As far as I know, we're the first show to go from podcast to radio. And I asked Michael Harrison, who runs Talkers Magazine, which is – I write for Talkers. It's kind of like the Billboard magazine of talk radio. You know, like the
– It's the insider gossip of
it's the house, talk radio the house hosts. Organ. It's the house organ, as they say.
Yeah, it's like Forbes for Wall Street traders.
Yeah, it's that. It is to radio, to talk radio, what Forbes is to Wall Street. Yeah, it's not just gossip. I mean, it's news. It's technical information. I write tech column there. It's a good magazine, cool. And he's a good guy, Michael Harrison. But he literally like knows more about talk radio than anyone in America. And he said, I can't think of another show that went from podcasting to radio. He also said, as far as he knows, we're the only syndicated show that's like swing shift. You know, that's like nighttime during the week and daytime on the weekend. So we're a weird show.
That's interesting.
Yep.
So yeah. How long were you doing the podcast before you picked up a station?
Well, this podcast started with Neo Vidotti and I April Fool's Day 2011. So May 1st, basically. You know, it's April Fool's Day at night. Neema and I were working on the Guns and Weed movie. I was doing a podcast called Radio Free Nestlandia, which was just kind of my – sometimes it was interviews. Sometimes it was my wife and I talking. Sometimes it was me talking.
Nestlandia?
Nestlandia is our nickname for – before we were libertarians, like going back 8 or 9 years, it was our name for our home. We call our home the nest. If we're in a hotel room, it's a rented nest. If we're in the car, it's the ported nest. It's kind of our nickname for our
– So it's like Petopia or whatever that sort of the Family Guy was.
Petoria. It's our nation of two, basically.
Cool.
And, you know, cause my wife and I, like before we met, we were people that kind of wanted to get away from it all. Like most of our lives, we've been leading towards that. And before we even became libertarians, we were literally like doing kind of the same, actuary work of deciding what state to move to that led to the Free State projects. New Hampshire and the Wyoming one. But we weren't gun people yet. So we were basing it on like land price, availability of work, taxes, and just like low population. And we got it down to 5 states and one of them was Wyoming. But anyway, long story short. Yeah. Nestlandia was our name for our nation of two before, you know, we discovered liberty. And I had this radio show called Radio Free Nestlandia. It was very much probably like what the Freedom Fiends are tonight, but without a show clock. And with, you know, it was like the Freedom Fiends when we don't talk about tyranny. It was that kind of show.
Cool.
And Nima was over. We just met Nima. It was like the second or third time he was over here. And the last Radio Free Nestlandia show was Nima and I and DJ talking about politics. And I was still a minarchist. I actually released this on the Freedom Fiends. It's in there somewhere in those 500. It's not one of the episodes. We're not counting it as one of the 500 episodes, but it's in the feed somewhere. I found it. I didn't have it, but some Fiend fan had it and sent it to me. Yeah, so that was the first episode. But that wasn't the first Freedom Fiends. That was like episode zero. And the first episode was a 15-minute episode, April 1st, 2011. We'll have more when we come back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
So yeah, so there I was, April Fool's Day, 2011. Neem and I had just released our first 8-minute podcast. I don't know, something like that. It was 15 minutes. It was called A Forest of Hope for Liberty. And I think it was recorded on my Zoom H2 with it sitting between us on the table. Like, I think we're in the same room. Maybe. I don't remember. But we did. They got longer and longer until they got up to like an hour. Then they got to an hour and a half, generally, give or take. We did not have a show clock. We did not have, you know, music interrupting us. We didn't have to do it a certain place and time. And we did a lot of episodes. We did it quite regularly and with a lot of zest and got a bit of a little following. And we didn't get on radio until a year ago, May, I think May 11th or something like that, whatever the first or second weekend in May, last year, 2013 was, is when we started on radio. And we actually, Ian Freeman, I asked him to help get us on radio and he said, you know, yeah, I think you're ready, you know, and put in a word with GCN for us. 'Cause he knew I was a hardworking guy. He knew I kept my word. He knew I did what I said I was going to do, which, you know, that's all important for, first of all, putting your name behind somebody and saying, yes, somebody else, you should do business with this person. And also, it's very important for being reliable on radio. Like, Ian didn't want to do what he did before, which is recommend a friend who's a good guy who does a good show, but then the guy flakes and pod fades and stops doing it. So, yeah. You know, Ian knew I could do that, and he put in a good word with GCN. And it actually took about 6 or 7 months after the GCN said yes for us to get on the radio. And during that time, I begged nickels and dimes to buy the equipment I needed to do it and, you know, did a lot of research and basically like sat around going, I want to be on radio, you know?
And so before that, there wouldn't have been a show clock, right? It would have just been straight 2 hours a show.
Interesting though, because we also started doing the Saturday and Sunday show, I think the same time slot on GCN, for about 9 or 10 months before we got on radio. We were doing, or not on GCN, on LRN.
On LRN. On
Ian's streaming network.
Which is the same show clock.
It's pretty close. He uses the Free Talk Live show clock for LRN, but the one that the Fiends got given to us by GCN when we got on actually has a few less minutes of talk per hour, but that's actually useful because it gives a couple more minutes of ads to the local radio stations that take you. So it makes you more attractive to getting syndicated by like 1% or something.
Yeah. So it's like training. It's like you built up this sort of familiarity with the show clock. And once that was clear, now it's like, now you can go pro.
Yeah. Ian is LRN is the farm team. I mean, it's actually not the farm team for radio, but we're the only ones that have done that, but it is excellent farm teaming for radio.
Right.
Yeah. If you could do a show on LRN and then learn not to cuss, you can do a show on radio. Yeah, Ian and
so
I.
So did you swear before you were on LRN?
Like, gosh darn sailors. Yeah, all the time. Okay. All the time, endlessly. We were really worried about cussing on radio. You know, actually, most shows on GCN, when they're not taking calls in segments where they don't take calls, do not have a cuss dump. We're like the only show on GCN that has a cuss dump and we don't take calls. And we've never done it. We've never had to hit the cuss dump. I've never had to hit it on me. I never had to hit it on Nima. We had to hit it.
I don't know. We've hit it when certain people are mentioned.
Oh, we've hit it when someone says the C word, Cantwell. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was just kind of a joke. But we actually did hit it and dump it. But I'm so over that guy. I don't care what he does. He's not a threat to liberty like I thought. He's just a goofball. There's bigger fish to fry in liberty. And I have fried them, and I'm going to fry them again. Because liberty depends on it. Liberty depends on, I think, evolving a realistic semblance of a society involves shame on people who need it.
You know what I mean? It requires knocking down every great man that dares to stick up his head.
I think it does too, man. And I don't just want to bash people who are more popular than me. That seems petty. But I think there shouldn't be libertarian superstars. I think there should be, because it all goes to their head, man, and they all turn into like, I am God and I have all the answers no matter what. And, you know, it's kind of how like punk rock had to come along because stadium rock was so horrible and pompous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Ian, which means we're due for that in music because pop music now is pretty terrible.
Ian Freeman and I are training the next batch of, you know, punk rock garage band libertarian talk radio hosts to have a chance at knocking down the popes of liberty as they should.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah, man. You're the most improved player. I think you were horrible the first time you were on radio. Horrible.
we ought to do what? Someday we ought to pull episode. Clips from that episode and like play it and riff on it on the air.
Yeah. So I guess there's more Fiends history. I don't know. Ask me particular questions.
Did you ever have any other guest hosts other than Nima Vedotti before the floodgates opened?
What do you mean?
Was there ever any other host other than Nima Vedotti?
What do you mean
before
the
Nima Vedotti left?
Oh, before he left? Well, yeah. Here's what happened. He went on paternity leave when his wife was very pregnant, and then for a month, I think, after his kid was born, or maybe 2 months after. So there were like 3 or 4 months, and this is when the show was only 2 days a week. There were 3 or 4 months where he was only doing Saturdays and not doing any Sundays and not even doing every Saturday. And, you know, basically they say even if you're replaceable in a job, you should never miss a day of work because people might realize you're replaceable.
Yeah, that's how I got laid off. That's why I work for myself today.
How'd you get laid off?
I went on pilgrimage almost 2 years ago now, and when I got back, I was gone for like 3 weeks or so. They said, yeah, we did all right with you gone for 3 weeks, so you don't really need to come back.
What was your job?
I was doing production art for a screen printer and like promotional products, imprinting, stuff like that. Yeah. It's the same thing I do now, except I was doing it for other people.
Yeah, and it was the best thing that ever happened to you, right?
Oh, yeah, and it was. Yeah. And, you know, coming back from a pilgrimage, I was in the best place psychologically for that to happen. So
you're walking with God, man. You can do no wrong.
I'm not bitter about it at all. It's just that is exactly what happened. Is they said, yeah, we discovered we don't really need you anymore.
And you know, it worked out fine for Nima. He's being a daddy. He's working a lot of hours. He's making good money, better money than he's ever made. And, you know, he's still like getting asked here and there to be on people's different podcasts. And so it's not like he's dropped off the Liberty map for good. And he's putting out some music. So it's all good for everybody. And also the other thing was I really wanted to do seven shows a week. And there was no way. I mean, Nima could barely do two. So for a while, I started Michael Dean After Dark.
Yep.
Which ran 5 nights a week while I was still doing the Fiends on the weekend with Nima and people filling in on his paternity leave. And that's how it came to be a swing shift show. Like, actually, and this isn't even a confession. This is a fact. counting this as the 500th episode, I'm counting like the 25 or 30 Michael Dean After Darks as Freedom Fiends. Because they're okay. They're on, you know, they're in the archive. They basically were Freedom Fiends format. And I tried, like, as soon as I started doing it, like a week after I started doing that, Nima Vidati said, you know, I can't do the show anymore. It was kind of funny how it came up. It was basically, we started to get some advertisers for the first time ever. And I was having trouble getting money up to go to Porkfest, you know, to cover. I mean, we needed a hotel, a rental car, everything, and plane tickets. I mean, we spent like $3,000 going to Porkfest and back. And because, you know, we couldn't drive, we had to have a DJ can only get a certain number of days off per year. So we had to really squeeze it in and do it bam, bam, bam to be there for 5 days. So, you know, I called Nima up when he came back from paternity leave, and he was, you know, kind of phoning it in, doing, you know, two shows on the weekends and barely able to do that. And I said, hey, you know, we just got $300 in ad money from so-and-so. Is there any way, you know, usually we'd split that. Is there any way I can keep that for Porkfest? And he said, why don't you keep all the ad money anyway? Listen, I was thinking of telling you, Michael. That's how he quit, literally. And at first I was stunned and shocked, and it reminded me of when my band quit, you know, back in my band Bomb. Like, basically, it couldn't go on without the same four members. And, you know, they were like, well, if you don't quit doing heroin, we quit. You know, they wouldn't fire me from my band, but they all quit. That's how they did it. It kind of reminded me of that, like the shock I felt when that happened. But then, like, before the phone call was even over, I was like, you know, I was thinking in my head, like, you know, all those people that filled in for Nima had a great time and did a great job. Maybe they can do it. And yeah. I had Michael Dean After Dark, and some of those same people were doing that. So I already had, you know, six of the 12 co-hosts set. So it was pretty easy. It didn't require much at all, except like changing a couple things on a website and changing the liners, you know, because it used to say, you're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima Vidati and Michael Dean. So I just had to re-record those. That's it.
Yeah. What about Anarchy Gumbo? Are you counting those episodes in your 500 count?
No.
Okay. Tell us about it. What was Anarchy Gumbo?
Well, I had a website called kittyfeet.com that I still have it, that I registered Thanksgiving Day 1996. So I've had one of my domains I've had since then. And it used to be kind of my blog before there was blogging software. Like, I would actually just update the HTML of what I was doing and shared pictures on it. And it was a sprawling site. It had like 900 pages. It was kind of like the Winchester Mystery House of the internet. Like, it wasn't very navigable either. Like, you could find pages on it you'd never seen before. It was kind of just my attempt at learning to do internet stuff and do graphic arts and there's some audio on it. There's a couple MP3s, spoken MP3s that were on there. And at some point I was just like, okay, once I was doing podcasting regularly, I was like, I'm going to delete every file on this and start over. And I did. And then I was like, I was doing The Fiends, but I was like, I want to do an interview show, and I don't really want to do interviews on The Fiends. So I just decided to make something called Anarchy Gumbo. I envisioned it one night, interviewed Ben Stone, my first recording, and decided not to get a new URL. I was like, I have that one I've had for 15 years. I'll use that. So it's all still up there at kittyfeet.com.
But awesome. Now Ben's been promoted to the inner circle.
Yeah, he has.
The Worm. Inner circle.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Freedom Fiends. You know what mic I'm using, Davy Barker?
I don't.
I'm using the same mic you're using, the Audio-Technica USB 2005, but I'm not using it USB. I'm using it XLR into my mixer. It's a really good mic, man. It's $50. I think it sounds as good as my RE20. It's $500, which is broadcast standard.
Well, they should market it that way.
Yeah. So you'll be back tomorrow if we have internets, and Friday I get my second internet connection, the DSL. You know, there's actually a box that Ian and someone else recommended to me that is made for having two internet connections, and it picks the best one and routes that automatically. I may have to get one of those too. It's like $100, but I'll make it work. So, I mean, at first I'll probably just be unplugging and plugging cables before the show and then after the show. But so we're going to do the Cards Against Humanity, Jim Jesus version for the last 5 minutes here of Freedom Fiends episode 500. So you're going to start with a black card and I'm going to read some white cards as responses. So go ahead, brother.
Oh, I thought we were going the other way. I've been reading white cards this whole time. All right, hang on a second. Let's see.
Well, I could go.
Blank.
Hmm? All right, go ahead.
Blank, exclamation point. Trusted and used by Glenn Beck.
Agorism. Trusted and used by Glenn Beck.
That's not true.
How about Ma Rhodes, used by Glenn
Ma
Beck?
Ma Rhodes, used by Glenn. That is true. Yeah.
Or the Koch brothers. That's one of them. The Koch brothers, used by Glenn Beck. Did I say Alex Jones? I was reading a different card. No, Glenn Beck. Hey, you know, I think a good t-shirt for the con thing, the horror convention, whatever. My friend Mike DeLuna, who used to be my roommate in San Francisco and L.A., and was a Fiends host for two or three shows until he said he didn't want to be Joe Satriani's bass player, which means I talked too much and didn't let him talk enough, I guess. But he came up with that meme that's like, you know, classic zombies like coming at you in silhouette. And it says Dawn of the Living Statists. And the zombies are saying Rhodes. That would make a good t-shirt for Walker Stalker Con.
That would be pretty good.
I'm sure he'd be fine with you using it. It could be awesome.
Yeah, I have my own Zombie Rhodes graphics I've done too. Because I
think that's the one, man.
That's pretty good.
He came up with that.
Yeah. So this one ought to be good. Michael W. Dean's new documentary is called Blank and Blank, The Road to Blank.
Michael W. Dean's new documentary is called The Koch Brothers and Cultural Marxism, The Road to Open Carrying. That's funny. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you see, you've already used this one. Anarchy, but who will build the blank?
Universally preferable behavior.
Who will build the universally preferable behavior?
Yep.
That is an inside joke.
It's so inside, man. All right. Go ahead. I'm
going
to link the PDF of this so people can print it and make their own, by the way.
Libertarians have to recognize that their ideology will never be accepted by blank.
Statists. No, we'll never.
Is that a card?
We'll never. Yes, we'll never be accepted by. Am I being detained? I got a better one. Libertarians have to recognize that their ideology will never be recognized by an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins.
That's not true.
That's one on there. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I
did
see that one.
That's you, brother.
I got mentioned. I got an honorable mention.
I may have written 5% of these cards, but I'm gonna give Jim Jesus all the credit. All right, go ahead.
There you go. Did you hear Free Talk Live last night? Ian said blank is a great form of activism.
Drones. No, here's. Did you hear Free Talk Live last night? Ian said that uploading videos of yourself doing DMT to YouTube is a great form of activism. All right.
That does sound like something Ian would say.
Yeah, but it was actually Kokesh that did that. But it does sound like something Ian would say. Okay, go ahead.
While pounding the desk and frothing at the mouth, Alex Jones screeched, "Blank is tyranny."
We can't do that, man. I actually have signed a contract that I can't fill in the blank on that one. So go ahead.
We're not making fun of Alex Jones, are we? Okay, fine. True libertarians always blank.
Roll blunts on a copy of The Socialist Worker. Give me one more really quick.
One more. In the long run, we're all blank.
Spanking. Homesteading a ring around someone's property to prevent their escape. In the long run, we're all homesteading a ring around someone's property to prevent their escape. Jim's brilliant, man. Some of these are wonderful.
Yeah.
All right.
You hear it here first. That's Freedom Fiends 500.
Yep. Thank you for your service, Davi, and internet willing, we'll be back tomorrow night.
You have not been contacted by the government in 500 episodes.
You're doing three shows in a row, man. You're like the new
trilogy.
The new Nima or something. All right, worms.
I'm not actually Nima Vadadi. I just play him on the radio.
I've had fun. Worms.